Turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David.
Hi, Johnny.
How are you?
Not too bad.
Hey, I was remiss. I should introduce, I'm hosting the show this afternoon with Pearl.
Hiya.
Hi, Pearl.
Hi.
Big Hungry's away on holiday, so I've got someone younger and better than Big Hungry.
Okay.
Hey, so what are we talking about this afternoon on Spaced Out?
Just a couple of little things, really, just sort of newsy sort of stuff. So the first one I thought I'd mention is Puerto Rico's in the news at the moment with Donald Trump visiting the damage there. At Puerto Rico, there's the second largest radio telescope, the Arecibo Observatory.
That telescope has been there for quite a long time, hasn't it? It's a pretty vintage setup.
It was completed in 1963, so it's been there a very long time. It's 300 meters in diameter. It sits in a natural bowl in the hillside. So it's very, very large. It's just been superseded by a larger one in China last year, which is 500 meters across. But the point really is that with all this damage and destruction going on, you sort of wonder yourself how to protect something as big and expensive as something like this radio telescope. Well, really, the answer is that you really can't. You know, the hurricane doesn't pick favorites. And so there was damage to the radio telescope. But luckily, it seems to be a part that isn't used as much as the rest of it. And to fix it will be, you know, cost some money, but it looks like, as far as observations go, it shouldn't cause too much of a problem. But with all that's going on around, and the fact, of course, you need electricity for the computers and to run the radio telescope, that's got to work in with everyone else and basically get the whole island working again, not just the radio telescope.
Mm. This particular radio telescope, what sort of work would it be doing in particular at the moment, given, I mean, it's kind of pretty vintage, you know, equipment.
The radio dish itself is, you don't really do a great deal with that. It's just a big dish with 38,000 aluminium panels that make it up. All the electronics has been updated, obviously, since 1963 many times.
Mm-hmm.
And the computers that work behind the scenes, the storage facilities, the data processing and so on, that's a continual upgrade all the time. So, no, it's still an extremely good and valuable instrument.
Modern. Why was that location picked in the first instance for a telescope? Is there something special about that area of the world?
Well, it's closer to the equator than mainland US, so that you've got a spread where you can look. This telescope, it doesn't tilt. It's not on like a tripod or something,
yep,
so you can tilt it right down. It's actually built and hangs off the cliffs, off the side of the hillside. Mm. And it points straight up. So to look sideways, they have the focus on cables suspended from high pillars that, so you move the focus point, and so you can move sideways across the line of sight,
mm-hmm,
but you can't look really low or really high across the horizon. It is restricted, but it means you're looking in the main part of the sky where most of the stars and so on you want to look at.
Oh, cool. And now the second news article you've sent us is about the Rocket Lab second test is coming up down in Mahia.
That's right, yeah. It's just good to see that they've got an announcement saying that they are going to do the second test soon. As with the last one, they're not given a date. They just said in the next few weeks. The other thing they've added, though, instead of just doing what they did last time and hopefully not having to abort it, last time there was a problem with the telecommunications, they're putting some satellites on board. So There's going to be four little satellites on board.
It's got a payload.
They'll go to the next step and they'll test actually launching satellites.
Okay, that's really interesting. I was sort of wondering what the commercial use of this thing was. Do you know who the satellites are for? Or
they've already got customers lined up and paying. What they're aiming for is the lower end of the cost, so they're not sending massive satellites up to the geostationary orbit, you know, for like Sky TV and that sort of thing. It's the lower orbit use and smaller satellites, so they can send more up more cheaply is the idea.
Mm-hmm. How big are the facilities down there in Mahia? Is it a reasonable size setup?
No, it's very modest. I mean, I haven't actually been to it myself, of course. But, I mean, you've got one launch pad. You launch one rocket at a time. It's on the end of a cliff with cliff going down to the water and on three sides. The actual hub of activity is in Auckland. That's where they build the rockets and the engines and do all the hard work there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they have other places where they do testing and so on. So they're a wee bit secretive about a lot of this sort of stuff. But basically, Auckland is the hub and Mahia is where the launch occurs.
Cool. Where they've got the giant catapult located.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, there's also three upcoming International Space Station spacewalks. Now, personally, maybe this is a bit of an imaginary scenario, but are they not walking outside the International Space Station all the time, floating around in space?
No.
Is it kind of a rare thing?
No, they spacewalks, even though there's been many, many, many of them, they're still dangerous, and they only go outside, do a spacewalk, if they really have to. They have robotic arm outside the space station that they can operate from inside to do most of the stuff and the heavy stuff. They have other robotic craft that will help with that sort of thing. So no, they only go out if they really have to, and have three in a row like this is pretty unusual. But it'll be on live on NASA TV. NASA TV you can get to easily, just Google it. On the 5th of October, the 10th, and the 18th, that's American time, so you'd have to add a day to that, so it'd be the 6th, 11th, and 19th in New Zealand. But if people Google it, they'll get it pretty easily, and you can actually watch it live on NASA TV, these three spacewalks. So we haven't had any for a while, so it's an opportunity for people to actually watch them.
How long are they outside for, usually? How long can they stay outside the spacecraft?
Spaceship. 8 hours would be a reasonably long walk outside.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to go over 10 minutes because it takes so long getting set up and getting into your spacesuit and organizing it. The whole thing has to be planned down to the fraction of a minute, what they're going to do, where they're going to go, how they're going to do it. And they will have practiced all of this. So it's highly planned, highly organized. So when you get out there, you want to make the most of that time. But obviously you're going to be limited by the human body. I mean, the spacesuit doesn't mind being out there. To put it at the basic level, they're wearing a diaper.
Yes.
So I guess that might
go for it. Relax. This might be a wild rumor that I heard, but is it true that if you are outside the spaceship for too long, you just go crazy because the human mind can't actually comprehend space, and once you're out there, it gets a bit too much for you?
The short answer would be no,
okay.
Because I think if someone was going to do that, they wouldn't be up there in the first place.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I mean, astronauts are selected in the first place, so to become an astronaut, most people are rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And what astronauts say when they say, oh, what about the Russian cosmonauts or the Chinese? They're all the same sort of character types and personalities and so on, because they've been selected for that job of being up in space and doing a job in space. So it doesn't matter whether they're Russian, American, or anywhere else. They're very similar. So no, they don't go.
They've got a good handle on.
And you also
what it's
you
like.
Can't just have them sort of wandering off and thinking, oh, well, I'm just going to enjoy the view. I mean,
that would be the first thing I would do, actually.
Same.
Do that bit where they drift away from the space station.
They have a tether, but I mean, their concentration, their attention might just drift away. I don't mean literally.
Yeah. And now, what's coming up at the Stardome?
We've got a couple of things. We've got an astrophotography exhibition coming up. This is the Auckland Astronomical Society has a competition each year. It's got an international judge. There's over 300 entries this time. And so the winning entries in the different classes are going to be displayed at Stardome from the 14th to the 22nd of October. Mm-hmm. These brilliant photographs from around the world. The other thing to look forward to later in the month is a spooktacular. So there'll be for the people who want to dress up as ghosts and whatever. Mm-hmm. So 31st of October will be a haunted night.
Okay,
Stardome.
Bit of a party. Anything in particular happening at the Stardome that night other than ghouls?
I'll talk about that in the coming weeks. In a bit more detail, perhaps. What I would say is if people are out looking at the night sky, just watch out for the moon on Friday. It's full moon, so the sky's going to be bright, unfortunately. But after that, the 19th to the 25th of October, is a meteor shower called the Orionids. So if people are up in the morning, sort of from midnight on, looking towards the big constellation of Orion, there's a meteor shower in that 19th to 25th of October period where the number of meteors and the brightness of them will be greater.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you very much, David.
Pleasure.
We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks, and everyone should head along to the Stardome and check it out.
Absolutely.
Cool.
We've got the school holiday program going at the moment, so people need to book for that. You can't just rock up, really. That is really fully booked a lot of the time at the moment.
Best way to do that, online or over the phone?
Both are fine.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Thanks, Johnny.
See you later.
Cheers.
Bye, Pearl.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.